You are listening to the Legal Community Podcast, hosted by Guy Remond and Dave Zampano, powered by Guider. Guider provides self-service online legal documents supported by your local attorney. Fast, affordable, and in your own time. For more information and resources, please visit guider.legal and enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Legal Community Podcast. I am Lisa Rozier, joined with Dave Zampano and Guy Remond. In our previous podcast, we were talking about our book, The Digitization of Law. Actually, I should say Guy and Dave's book and the scorecard that lives within it. A great conversation that came out of it. And today we're going to talk about tenacity. And I have my own thoughts. I remember my basketball coach in high school using that word, but...
But, was that in a positive way, Lisa?
It was a positive way.
You know, I really enjoyed our last conversation around the ever-expanding digitization. And I think tenacity is important. So again, looking at the four columns of the scorecard from left to right, at the lowest level, people believe that, you know, you're happy with things the way they are and you really have no desire to change or challenge anything. So you live in a world, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Everything's fine. The next level of individual thinks a little differently. And this typical individual knows that things need to change. And they want their business to add ever-increasing value. But they struggle to get their message across. They struggle to really be heard in the marketplace to the level they want to be. So this is the people that they're starting to understand it. They're maybe getting a little challenged and frustrated that they can't get the respect or the response from the community that they would hope for their knowledge. Again, it's amazing to see how tenacity ties through all these, because I'll relate it back to a story relating to a recent interview I did. You're happy to challenge people in situations that allow you to benefit personally, but you do what it takes to get this done. So this is the third column. This is like as we progress further along in tenacity, we find these people tend to challenge life and other people in situations to ensure that they can benefit themselves, but they typically focus on themselves and their own benefit within their companies or firms. And they do what they have to do to get things to happen. And that's really a zone that a lot of lawyers live in. And Guy and I talked about this on the last podcast, that it's also the danger zone, that third of the four columns where we get comfortable, or I use the word lazy, or complacent, or we think we've got it all figured out. And whenever you think you've got it all figured out, that's where the danger zone comes in, because you can get blindsided because your eyes haven't been as open as they might have been when you're young and hungry. So we always encourage people to strive to this fourth zone, which is you constantly strive to add value by challenging the status quo and asking difficult questions. I love that last phrase, asking difficult questions. Or I'll take the word difficult out of it, just asking questions. And this is the story I wanted to show. I was recently interviewed for a magazine article, and they said, Dave, you know, your success in law, if you had to tell someone, if you had to go back to your 30 years, what would you say is some of the key things that made a difference? And what came to mind was, again, I didn't call it tenacity, but after seeing this today, it's tenacity. Everywhere in my life, when I had an idea, where did I get the idea from? It came from listening. What did people want? What did they need? They wanted something different that they weren't getting. And the next step is what really I remember most about my 30 past years. As I tried to pursue something different to solve these problems that people were having that they couldn't solve with the current products or services that lawyers offered, the number one thing I heard from mentors and other lawyers who were, quote, respected in the legal community, the number one answer I would get is, you can't do that. Now, you want to talk about tenacity. You're a young lawyer and all these gurus are saying you can't do that. But I look at the law and the law doesn't say that. My interpretation, like, geez, it just doesn't seem like that's true. So I would ask again. And so I'll give you an example of my IPOC trust when I created them. I went to lawyers and said, why can't we create an irrevocable trust that the grantor is the trustee? And these gurus would give me all these answers that that related to estate tax challenges. So, it'll be included in your taxable estate. And I would say, I don't care. The client doesn't have a taxable estate, but they want to protect their assets. Well, as I would continue to probe the gurus, finally it would come to the point where the gurus, when I would say, and I would keep giving my legal analysis, I'll never forget this one legal guru. He's still out there in the marketplace. I won't out him, but he looked at me and he said, you just can't do it. Even after I presented him. Now, let the record reflect, not only could you do it, I've been doing it myself personally for 25 of my 30 years of practice. And I have a whole national company of over 1,000 lawyers that have implemented it nationally. And it's actually become a new genre of trust. But I was told you just can't do it. That's tenacity, not stopping when you're told no.
Yeah. I mean, Dave, listen, I'd love to pick up on that because I think people like that, the guy you've just described or the person you've just described there is telling you couldn't do it despite you putting evidence in front of them, are going to be found out increasingly. They're increasingly going to be found out because, you know, the rate of change is quickening. It's not slowing down. It's not staying the same. It's getting faster and faster. You know, we both go to the A360 community conference every year in California. And, you know, the guy that runs that, Peter Diamandis, his favorite quote is that there is going to be more change in the next 10 years than in the last 50, the last 50 to 100 even. And, you know, I absolutely believe that's the case. And we've seen that evidence. We've seen what's coming around the corner. We, you know, we get a heads up on the next sort of 5 even to 10 years kind of in advance as to what's going to go on. So, you know, the people that are in column one, they're happy with things as they are, as you put it, you know, they kind of, they're okay with the status quo. They're going to be increasingly found out in my humble opinion. You know, they're really going to the other end of the spectrum. The people are going to benefit from these changes are the people, as we discussed in the last podcast with the endless digital expansion, are the ones that keep on top of technology, but are tenacious as well. And, you know, you've got to have tenacity in your toolbox if you're an entrepreneur. So the entrepreneurial lawyers will absolutely benefit from these changes because changes mean opportunity. And, you know, it's a case really of looking for the opportunity every time you see these changes coming. Be ready. You know the change is coming. You're collaborating with some, you know, forward-thinking companies and, you know, you're on the latest platforms, you're using the latest software to run your business. And when they tell you there's a new product coming along and this is what it's going to do, assess it and think, okay, this is going to change things. How am I going to benefit from that? And be tenacious and don't take no for an answer.
You know, I tell you, guy, in my experience, as you know, at Lawyers of Purpose, the last 20 years, we've been helping law firms grow and develop the practices, how to run the estate planning, elder law, asset protection practice. They all teach you that in law school. This is where tenacity is most important. I'll tell you why. There's nothing wrong with status quo if you're happy, but there is something wrong because the carpet's going to be pulled out from underneath you. If you're not part of the conversation of leading, then you are subject to follow whatever is delivered to you. And I think what's unique about technology.
Picking up the crumbs, Dave. Picking up the crumbs.
Yeah, exactly. Picking up the crumbs, right. And I got to tell you, there's fewer and fewer crumbs. If you look around, everything is massive companies, right? You look at Amazon, you look at Facebook. There's no crumbs. I mean, they are soaking up any crumb. They soak them up. They got a super vacuum cleaner, man. They're watching. And anything out there that's even remotely going to go in their space, they are, if it's worthwhile, they are swallowing it up and bringing it into their circle. So there are very few crumbs left as we go forward. But here's what I would say. The strongest tenacity it takes for lawyers, and I'm going to be straight with you because, look, I've been running the law firm for 30 years, well, 28 of my 30 years now. And one of the hardest things is we become dependent upon our people. We call them our team. But a lot of lawyers don't have teams. They have people. They have their staff and they have them. And they're not a team. And they don't proceed together. What's most important is the biggest challenges I've seen for lawyers over the past that have been unable to make the change. Change is hard. It's so much easier to just not do anything. Just keep doing what you've always done. But then, you know what? You find yourself unhappy because you get stuff dealt to you a lot and you got to deal with it because you weren't being proactive. But here's a blind spot for many lawyers. You become, and I'm going to use this word, dependent on your key personnel. for example, your assistant, your you know, musical home secretaries, now, what do they call them? Client service coordinators or things of that nature. One of the biggest challenges I see, I have lawyers that have this light go off and they want to pursue it, but their key personnel in their office, their non-lawyers, don't want it. They're the ones that don't have the tenacity. They're the ones that like the status quo. And the lawyers are scared to death because they don't want anything to happen. I don't want to lose this person. So the lawyers shut down their own goals and dreams because they become prisoner to that one or two people in the office that they rely on. That's unhealthy. And so have the tenacity to build a team that supports the idea of going beyond and being part of the changes. And even if you're not in the forefront, you're not that risky, be right behind them. Be aware of them and be adaptable. You know, one of the core values we always talk about, lawyers with purpose, be adaptable to the changes. Don't be so rigid and closed and really what I'm going to call prisoner to our own limitations. And that's what I think is important with tenacity as well. They have the tenacity to sometimes walk away from important relationships that don't support a vision of your future. And I think that's an important distinction. And that's the hardest tenacity to have in my experience over the years.
Lisa, and I don't know if you've got anything you'd like to add to the conversation.
No, I just think that it's a little bit of mindset too. And the determination is key. And I really anchored into what Dave said about you have a leader or the visionary or the lawyer, and you got to have a powerful team behind you too. And I think we've talked about that before in terms of mindset and who's your, you know, your who and whatnot, but I think that's important.
Adaptability is becoming a critical thing, actually. And Dave, you raise a really good point about your team. You have to have a team that is able to deal with change and is adaptable. It's becoming such a thing. There's a guy on our strategic coach program, Dave, I don't know if you've come across him, called Ross Thornley. And he's building a business around measuring and then training teams to deal with change. AQAI, I'll give his company a shout out. But I think it's a really relevant service in this modern age, you know, and you need to be able to measure people's adaptability. And if there's a way of doing that, which Ross's team's come up with, then that actually is a really important measurement. And maybe it's a measurement that should apply to people that you hire. You know, Dave, you and I do the Colby Index in Strategic Coach. And honestly, you know, I didn't believe in any of that stuff when I first started Coach 15 years ago. And then I did it and we'd been out the night before, hadn't had much sleep, probably drunk a little bit too much. I did this thing and I had no
regrets.
I know. I had no expectation that it would reflect me at all. And I got the results back and I'm like, oh my gosh, that has got me nailed on. Absolutely right. So despite, you know, the the lack of sleep and so on, you know, it still absolutely nailed me. So these measurements are really important and can be used, I believe, when you're recruiting people.
I think on the flip side of that, let me tell you the other side of the story of my 30 years of working with law firms nationwide. I also see it the other way, where the key personnel are the ones that are trying to expand and grow, but it's the lawyer that's hanging on and scared to death. So this is about building that team and really bringing together that. Here's the key thing. And it goes back, you know, guys, so many times you and I are referring back to a strategic coach and Dan Sullivan. You know, two key concepts. You know, Dan's got this book series he's writing with Dr. Benjamin Hardy. I recommend you read every one of them. First, there's two out right now, but the first one is Who, Not How. And the significance of the Who, Not How book is about that you need to find people who it is their unique ability, strategic coach calls it, where they do things naturally. So those things that you do naturally and easily are your strengths. My dad always called them your God-given talents, right? So as you recognize your God-given talents, then you start to find other people's talents and then you collaborate or you work with them. You build a team of different talents. That's how you get to the finish line, not by one of us carrying everyone else on our backs, but by all of us getting locked in together, right? The Clydesdales. The Clydesdales aren't one and then a bunch of them on the back of the Clydesdales. There's a whole pack of Clydesdales working together to pull that carriage behind them, right? And I think that's what's important too in team building and tenacity. Team building takes tenacity. the complexity there is takes tenacity on each team member. And this is an invitation to an entire firm. You should engage your entire firm in these podcasts and in the conversations of the book, The Digitization of Law, because together is how you're going to overcome these challenges that are going to be required in this transition in the law that we're seeing technology take hold of.
It's funny, Dave, Lisa and I, just before you came on with your slight technical hiccups that you were having, we were chatting about that very subject and, you know, saying that with another podcast series I'm doing at the moment with EHE Capital, we're now bringing in all the team members, and quite often Gary and I, who are the founders, are not on the podcast at all now, because it's important that all the team members are on the same page and they all understand tenacity and so on. And, you know, these podcasts are one way of kind of building that kind of team understanding and telling everybody that's listening to these podcasts in the outside world, you know, what we're all about. And it's not all about the founders, it's all about the team in reality.
Absolutely.
So is that guy you doing an invitation and you asking me to say, it's time we get some of our team members on here to help along in this conversation? I like that idea.
Absolutely.
I think it's good for them to do some solo. I think it's great for them to do some with us, so people see the interaction between us and them, because I think it's not an us and them. It's a we, and it's really everyone kind of aligned. Alignment, I think, is the key word. Again, alignment requires tenacity. It's tough, right? We're all subject to our own backgrounds. In the LWP way it's called, we all have our backpacks, right? We put all of our past in this backpack and we carry all this crap with us, right? So we got to kind of get through all that crap as we meet new people, because some people might remind us of some things from the past that we don't have fond memories of. So, you know, like, that's tenacity. You got to work through that. You got to find the common ground. You got to find a clear vision that everybody's leaning toward and heading toward. And that really brings joy to work. And it also brings effectiveness and efficiency.
Absolutely.
Team tenacity, Dave.
Team tenacity.
It's a new thing.
I like that. And the other word that you used today, the adaptability. I think now more than ever, people have to just start adapting. So, yeah. Well, what a great conversation. Time flew by. Thank you, Guy and Dave. I really appreciate it. And for all of you that are listening to that today, you can always go to guider.legal, get access to all of the podcasts of the legal community. You can also find the book, The Digitization of Law, available along with the scorecard. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Legal Community Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Visit us at guider.legal for more information, and please review and share this show. We'll see you next time.